Blog Talk Radio.
Sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 162nd edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, and the title of today's message is one simple yet very profound word, forgiveness. We're going to focus on the story in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. You know, if we say we love God and we desire to please Him, and we must learn to forgive one another. There's no options about this, folks, none. Now, this whole concept of forgiveness, it's one of God's greatest gifts, and we ought to be thanking Him profusely and forevermore that He's forgiven us. But He also expects us to forgive one another. That's a prerequisite to entering the kingdom of heaven, you know, the kingdom of God. Now, to forgive, this word literally means to release a debt. So here's how it works. When we sin, we're actually transgressing God's law. So when we sin, we sin against God. And heaven's actually suing us for damages on a debt that we just cannot possibly pay. But when forgiveness comes along, our debt's canceled. For example, if you owed me $1,000 and you couldn't pay it, and I say, well, I forgive the debt, that costs me $1,000 to forgive your debt. So the point is, that there are no free passes when it comes to forgiveness. Forgiveness costs the forgiver. And that's what we need to understand. In other words, to forgive the forgivee, the forgiver must pay the debt. So there's no such thing as cheap forgiveness. There truly isn't. Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ forgave us, it wasn't as if our forgiveness was free. It was a price that we could not even begin to put a value on. It was priceless. Listen to the story that Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to read verses 21 through 24, starting in verse 21. I'm going to read through to verse 24. So this is Jesus talking to Peter after Peter asks a question. Then Peter came to him, that's Jesus, and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, that means counting, you know, looking at what his servants had been doing, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now let me jump in here and say, 10,000 talents is a lot of money. And today that'd be over $50 million. Now I suppose Jesus probably had a little twinkle in his eye, you know, when he was saying this to Peter, because that was more than the entire tax base of Israel for that year. So what Jesus was trying to do is make a point. The point he was trying to make to Peter was this was a huge, huge astronomical debt. And then listen to how Jesus continues in verses 25 through 28. So he's talking to Peter here about this whole story of this debt and the forgiveness of a debt and what Peter should be doing when it comes to forgiveness. So Jesus says, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now this dude knew he couldn't pay $50 million, but he's pleading for mercy. Now listen to what the Lord of the servant says. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him, and forgave the debt. So it was paid in full. But then listen to what happens. Okay, so now this guy was just forgiven of this incredible astronomical debt. And then listen to what he goes out and does. But that same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what thou owest. Now let's get this into perspective here. That debt was less than $50 in today's money. Now, there's this huge, huge difference between what was just forgiven in terms of his debt and what he's expecting his fellow servant to pay. A huge difference between $50 million and $50. I mean, come on, orders of magnitude there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 orders of magnitude difference. Huge, huge difference. And then finally, listen to what Jesus says in verses 29 through 35. And his fellow servant, this is the guy that owed the 50 bucks, fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. But he would not. And he went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what he had done, this is the guy that had $50 million forgiven from him, they were very sorrow and came and told their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, oh, thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou have had compassion upon thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father, so this is Jesus now talking, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brothers their trespasses. So now just stop for a minute and think. Has somebody wronged you? Has somebody hurt you deeply? Now, I'm fairly certain that if that's true, I mean a real deep, deep hurt, that you're at least harboring in your heart some hurt, if not more than that, if this person has really, really hurt you, truly done you wrong, and you haven't settled it in your heart, you're at least harboring some hurt, and maybe more. And I'm telling you, the only remedy for this hurt is forgiveness. Now, there's only 2 points in this message. First, the reasons to forgive, and then the requirement to forgive. So let's begin with four reasons to forgive. Now pay attention to this, because I believe that these are some very convincing reasons why we all ought to forgive one another. First of all, we ought to forgive one another because God has so willingly forgiven you and me. And that's what this parable I read to you was all about. You know, here was this one who owed his Lord $50 million. And God, you know, the Lord, in all of his mercy and all of his riches of just abounding grace and love, wiped it out. And that's what God did for us. So just like this servant who owed $50 million, that's what God's done for each and every one of us who's accepted this gift of salvation. So if God's forgiven you and me, we ought to forgive one another. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says, "Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Now, I need to forgive you if you've hurt me, and you need to forgive me if I've hurt you, because Jesus forgave you and me. And that's the number one reason we ought to forgive one another. But there's another reason we ought to forgive. If we don't forgive, we shut out the very forgiveness of God. Listen to what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Jesus says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." Now, in plain English, Jesus is just saying that an unforgiving spirit is simply unforgivable. So as long as we have an unforgiving spirit in our hearts, we can absolutely not receive the forgiveness of God. So in a very real sense, we destroy the very bridge over which we must travel to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, do you see how dangerous this is when we refuse to forgive one another? That means that the only person who cannot, or who can afford not to forgive, is the person who never, ever really needs to be forgiven. And if you can show me that person, that one person who doesn't ever need to be forgiven themselves, I will show you a pig who can fly. I will. The point is, there are no such persons. Now, here's the third reason we all ought to forgive. We ought to forgive because if we don't forgive, that unforgiving spirit in us that we harbor in our hearts will cause great emotional and even physical damage to our very selves, our very beings. Now, the Bible calls this unforgiving spirit bitterness. And bitterness, it's like an acid that literally destroys the vessel that contains it. You know, oftentimes people don't want to forgive because they feel like they ought to take revenge and get even. That's what the world says, you know. What worldly people do is they give an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. They return good for good and evil for evil. And what wicked people do is return evil for good. But what godly people do is they return good for evil. So when somebody hurts you, don't act like the world acts, or don't act like wicked people act, always doing evil, but return good for evil. So forgive them. That's the point. You know, when we don't do that, what happens is, if we say we're right with God and we're walking with God, and then somebody sins against us and we say, "Hey, I'm going to get even," you know what we're doing? We're lowering ourselves. We're stooping down to their level and trying to get even. So if we continue to hate and we just harbor that bitterness, it's going to boomerang right back at us and hit us and hurt us. That's why I say it's like an acid that will destroy the very vessel that contains it. So not only do we need to forgive for their sake, we need to forgive one another for our sake. And that's a very hard, in fact, impossible thing to do by human nature. Because if somebody has truly hurt you, I mean truly hurt you, human nature doesn't want to let them off the hook. It doesn't. But we must understand that we have to let them off the hook. But here's where the enigma is. You know, we have to do that, but we can't do it. So there has to be something other than us operating in us. And that's the grace of God. And I'm going to get into that more in a little detail. But here's what's really really interesting or cool about this whole concept. When we forgive, we're setting a prisoner free. And when we do that, soon we're going to discover that that prisoner was actually us. So we ought to forgive not only because God forgave us, and not only because of this damaging power of this unforgiving spirit, but we ought to we ought to realize that it's eating us like a cancer or an acid, and it'll ultimately destroy us. But then, fourthly, we ought to forgive because it restores broken fellowships. So if there's a person that you have an unforgiving spirit towards, you also have broken fellowship with that person. There's no way you can have fellowship with them. And that's the reason Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, "Therefore, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gainest thy brother." Then again in Matthew chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus talks about bringing your gifts to the church. And listen to what he says. He says that if when you get to a church and you realize that there's a broken relationship between you and your brother, Jesus says, "Leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way, first to be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift." The point is, God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need our works. He wants our hearts. He wants our hearts to be right with us and one another. So if you're out there doing all these good deeds for your church, but you're harboring this ill will towards a brother, it's like a clanging gong, you know, or just like a noisy symbol. It's not love, and God doesn't want it. Your gifts are for naught. Remember, a brother or sister in Christ is a very precious thing. Now, you may be wondering, well, what if that man that wronged me isn't a brother, or that woman isn't a sister in Christ? Well, I'm telling you, you still have a potential brother or sister in Christ, and if you have an unforgiving spirit towards them, what chance is there that you're ever, ever going to bring them to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? It won't happen. If that person has wronged you or hurt you, they really need you if you are who you profess to be, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So these are the biblical reasons we ought to forgive. Now let's look at the three biblical requirements to forgive. And remember, forgiveness is expensive. So it cost the king in that story that Jesus told over $50 million to forgive. So when God forgave us, it cost the silvers of his kingdom, you know, the tears of Jesus and the gold of his kingdom, the blood that Jesus shed. We can't even begin to fathom the price that was paid for us when God forgave us our sins by the death of Jesus on that cross, you know. The point is that forgiveness is costly, and Jesus is the model for all of us to forgive. Remember, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, "Be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us." So how should we forgive? Well, first of all, the Bible requires us to forgive freely. Have you ever wronged another and needed their forgiveness? You know, after they berated you and castigated you and scorned you and even whipped you up and poured salt in your wounds, and then finally they say, "Well, okay, I'll forgive you." You know, when people do that to me, I feel like saying, "Hey, never mind, I've already paid for the wrong I've done." And that's just plain wrong if people do that. So don't do that. The point is to freely forgive, not after you've collected your revenge. Freely forgive the moment you're wrong. You know, so if somebody wrongs you, don't go get even with them with all these hurtful things you say and do and then say, "All right, forget it." Because you've already, you know, exacted judgment in the world standards. So forgive freely before the wound gets infected. That's what I'm saying here. The point is to cleanse it quickly. Don't let it fester. That's what Jesus did. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was on the cross, remember what he was actually praying for up there on the cross? "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." He was asking the Father to forgive those who crucified him right while he's up there suffering in that incredible spiritual and physical agony, you know? And just like that, we should be so anxious to forgive people, so readily willing to forgive, that if they come to us and ask for forgiveness, we should be on it like immediately. And if they don't, we should be seeking them out to forgive them. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, remember this, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee," this is Jesus talking, "go and tell him his fault between him and thee alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Now notice Jesus didn't say go and tell him off, or go and get him back, or go and get even with him. He said go and gain your brother. So do it freely. Take the initiative. Now, is there anybody who has wronged you? If so, I'm challenging you. In the name of Jesus, I'm challenging you right now. Go to that person and say, I'm not waiting for that person to come to me. Just say that. I'm going to go to that person, and I'm going to forgive them freely. And then we're to forgive them fully. So don't do it half-heartedly. Don't do it with your fingers crossed behind your back. And don't pretend and say, oh, it didn't really matter. You didn't hurt me. Don't worry. If that person says to you, would you forgive me? And you say, well, it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. That's not true forgiveness. Now, the reason I say that it's no big the reason we say, oh, it's no big deal, don't worry about it, is because of our pride. We just don't want to admit how deeply that other person has hurt us. So we're trying to be the big man on campus, you know. So don't do that, and don't ever let another person do that to you if you've come to them for forgiveness. If they say, never mind, just forget it, don't stop there, because it cannot be forgiven until it's cleansed between both of you. So if somebody asks you to forgive them, don't act big and tough and say, oh, don't bother, don't worry, it's no big deal. Truly forgive them. Now, the point I'm trying to make here is make sure forgiveness is occurring between both you and them. It's both a give and a get. That's what I'm trying to say here. So don't simply apologize. That's another thing. Don't simply apologize if you've done wrong. Apologizing and asking forgiveness, they're not the same thing. Ask that wronged individual, in the name of Jesus, forgives you. So when you go to somebody, don't say, I'm sorry. Say, would you please forgive me? I've hurt you. And just go out and enumerate what you've done. You know, I've talked about you behind your back. I've slandered your name. I've caused your family grief. Would you please forgive me? What I did was wrong. That's asking for forgiveness. When you just go to somebody and say, oh, I'm sorry, that's not the same thing, folks. So forgive freely. Forgive fully, and number three, forgive finally. So once you forgive, bury it. I'm telling you, bury it in the grave of God's forgetfulness and do not bring it up again. Remember, it costs to forgive. So every time we forgive, we have to taste a little bit of Calvary when we forgive another. And the way we do that is to let the Spirit of the Lord come into us. Remember, I said we can't do this by human nature. It's not in our human nature to forgive. By nature, we want to get even and strike back. By our human nature, we want to pay good for good and evil for evil. So it's only by the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, when we have given him free reign in our lives and in our hearts, can we truly forgive. In other words, we can only forgive by the grace of God. And that brings up a real question here. Remember in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 22, when Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times. And Jesus saith unto him, not seven times, but 70 times. Now, that's how Matthew told the story. But listen to how St. Luke gave the story, the same account. He just gave a little bit of a different perspective on the matter. You remember, if I listen to something and you listen to something and we write it up like these apostles did, you're going to get the different flavor. You're going to get my perspective when you read my account, and then you'll get your perspective when you read your account. Well, here's what St. Luke said in chapter 17, verses 3 and 4 of his gospel. He said, take heed to yourselves. This is Jesus talking in Luke's account. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespasses against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn against to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. So, wow, Luke's taking it even a little further and says, you know, what if somebody does the same thing to you seven times in one day, but each time comes to you and says, I'm truly wronging you here, brother, and I repent. Jesus is saying we're to forgive. Now, you may be thinking that's just plain crazy. Well, I imagine most of us have come to God at least seven times in a day and asked to be forgiven, haven't we? Remember, Jesus said, and be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. But the verse that I want to focus on right now, just for a moment, is Luke 17, verse 3. And listen to what Luke wrote here. And this is Jesus, you know, teaching on forgiveness. And he says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. So the point here is that we cannot forgive someone who has not repented. So God doesn't forgive us unless we repent. And what repent means is to turn away, to change your mind from the way you were thinking to the way God thinks. And then saying what I was doing or the way I was thinking was wrong. And you're right, Lord, and I'm going to walk the way you teach us to walk. That's repentance, you know. And this brings up a really interesting enigma here now, because in one passage, Jesus tells us to seek out our brother who has wronged us. And he says we need to forgive him. But how can we forgive him if he's saying he hasn't done anything wrong? Do you know anybody like that in your life? You know? Or if he says, well, I've done wrong, and I'm going to continue to do wrong to you. I just don't like you. In other words, he doesn't have a repentant spirit. What are you supposed to do? How do you forgive him? Well, that's the $64,000 question, folks. You know, what we need to do, and I've learned this over the years, and it really works, and I want to share it with you here. I give the forgiveness out of my heart regardless. Or I give it forward, so to speak. I forgive forward. In other words, what I do is I put it in their heavenly bank account on escrow for them. So I unload it, and I refuse to carry that burden in my heart anymore. So even if a person won't receive my forgiveness, even if a person won't ask to be forgiven, I've offered it, and then I've given it. I've laid it up for them in heaven. It's there for them when they're ready to repent. So in other words, I write a check of repentance in faith, and I just put it up into heaven, and then they can lay hold of it any time in the future. So I've paid it forward, so to speak. You see what I'm saying? I've put it in the bank on escrow for them. So when you think about it, isn't that what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross? He provided forgiveness for us. He paid it forward, so to speak. He died on that cross 2,000 years ago for your sins and my sins that we committed yesterday. He paid it forward. He died for those sins we're going to commit tomorrow. It's there for us. But we can't receive it unless we repent, even though he's given it. So we have to repent and receive it by faith. And that's the point I'm trying to make. And likewise, we can offload that hurt. We can offload that wrong, even if they don't want to load it. So if they don't want to receive it, we can still get it off our hearts. If they don't want to repent, we can take it and unload it from our hearts. And just refuse to carry that spirit of bitterness anymore. Just say, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to lay this up to their heavenly bank account. That forgiveness has been paid forward. And when they're ready to receive it, when they're ready to repent, it's there for them. And what you're doing when you do that is there's just going to be this incredible release. Going to be set free from that prison of bitterness. Now, when God forgives us, we're set free from the prison of guilt. And so there's no reason whatsoever, if we call ourselves Christians and we're walking in the light of the Lord, that we should be dragging around either guilt or bitterness. We shouldn't have the chains of guilt or bitterness on us, folks, if we're walking as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what fools we are if we're dragging those chains of guilt or bitterness. But so many of us as Christians, we do that. You know, we can start every day as clean as the fresh fallen snow. We can do that. And I'm telling you, there's no reason, none whatsoever, to live in a prison of either bitterness or guilt. So if you're guilty and there's something unconfessed, unrepentant of in your heart, some sin that you haven't come to the Lord about, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So if he didn't do that, he'd be unfaithful and he'd be a liar. And if he didn't do that, he'd be a crook. But God isn't a liar and God's not a crook. He is faithful and just, praise the Lord, to cleanse us, not of some, but of all unrighteousness. So if we're to forgive our brothers, and even if they don't repent, then we just put that forgiveness in the bank for them. It's in the bank waiting for them. And then whenever they come along and draw upon that check of repentance, you know, write up that check of repentance and faith and take it to the bank in heaven, they can receive that forgiveness that we laid up. So there's going to be that release for us when we do that. And then what's likely to follow is reconciliation. We're going to gain some of our brothers and sisters in Christ back that are very precious to us. And these are the people that have been restored to us in relationship, koinonia. You know, we have koinonia, a relationship with the Lord, and then he desires we have koinonia, a relationship with one another. And they can become our nearest and dearest friends. So there's this release, there's this reconciliation, and then there's this potential for revival. And I believe that revival can take place in your family, in your business, in your school, in your church, and even in your community if we just all start practicing forgiveness. You know, when people begin to behave and believe what the Bible teaches, and they believe it's truly the Word of God and practice it, they're set free. They're set free from all of the chains that this world puts on them, all the chains that the devil puts on them, all the chains that we impose upon ourselves. We're set free from them all. So just stop and ask yourself, are you harboring hate over anybody? Are you carrying a grudge? Is there bitterness in your heart? If so, in the name of Jesus, deal with it right now. Because if you don't, you've destroyed the very bridge over which you got to travel to get to heaven. And if you don't, you're just storing up in your life acid that's going to destroy you and eat you alive from the very inside out. And it's going to hinder your prayers and keep you from having true spiritual revival in your life. It will. So just pray over this message with me for a minute. Just pray like this. Would you pray, Lord, you know, so-and-so has really hurt me, and I'm very bitter towards them. Whoever that person is, just name them out privately in your prayer right now. They've hurt me so bad. You know, maybe it's a former spouse, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's your son-in-law, maybe a school teacher or a former business partner. Whoever it is, just, Lord, they've stolen money from me. They've hurt my child. They've molested a loved one. Whatever it is. And, Lord, I have bitterness in my heart towards them. Just give it to Jesus. Give it to Jesus right now. Just unload it. Say, Lord, I get rid of it. Please say, Lord, I'm not even going to think about it anymore. But more than that, because that's not enough, folks, just say, Lord, I can't handle it. I can't. Give it to him. Just say, Lord, but you can. Just take it away from me, Lord. Fill me. Restore me into your pure and righteous ways. You know, and then you need to go and seek that brother or sister. Just seek them out and forgive them. Even if it's an unsaved person, go and tell them what the Lord has done for you and to show them what the Lord can do for them. Just make up your mind that you're going to do it. That's what we all need to do. Dear Lord, just show us how to respond to this message in the name of Jesus. Amen? Now, I love you all. So let's all learn to forgive. Take these words in this song of Matthew West to heart. It sums it all up. Have a great week, and I'll catch you next week, provided the Lord's willing.
Hardest thing to give away, and the last thing on your mind today, it always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they cause is just too real. Takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. It'll clear the bitterness away.
can even set a prisoner free. There is no end to what its power can do. So let it go and be amazed by what you see through eyes of grace. The prisoner that it really frees is you. Forgiveness. Forgiveness.